Acts chapter number 2.
You know, it seems like while you turn to Acts chapter 2, it seems like nowadays they always try and tell you you need to exercise, you need to eat right, you need to do this. And I was thinking about it. You eat right, you stay fit, you die anyway. Amen? You're going to die sometime or another. Amen? Might as well eat a cheeseburger. Amen, Brother Steve? Amen? Acts chapter number 2. Hey, all jokes aside, I've been trying to eat a little healthier. And Brother Jimmy's not in here. He was down here at Hardee's one day this week, and I hadn't had nothing to eat. And he said he was at Hardee's, and I said, well, I was coming through. I was leaving Walker. I said, just stay there, and I'll stop. I hadn't ate nothing. I'll eat lunch with you. I went in there, and them Hardee's hamburgers are good. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all all right for a second? Amen. And I said, I can't do that. I can't eat a Hardee's hamburger. That's just, I said, give me one of them turkey burgers. Can I give y'all a warning sign? Do not eat a turkey burger. Die. I'll take 5 less days. Give me the hamburger. Amen. Amen. I might die, but I'm going to die happy. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, if at first you don't succeed, do not try skydiving. Amen. Did y'all hear about they're making corduroy pillows? They're making headlines. Amen. Acts chapter number 2. Y'all catch on to that in a minute. Listen, a little humor's not going to hurt you. The Bible says it's like medicine, amen. It's all right to laugh once in a while. Some of y'all need to laugh once in a while anyway. It'll help you in more ways than one, amen. Amen. You might as well, hey, listen, if you can't laugh at church, I don't know where you're going to laugh unless you're looking in the mirror. Amen. It's all right to laugh once in a while. I do have this question. I got 2 questions for you. Number 1, why is abbreviation such a long word? Some of y'all ain't laughed all week, all right? And number 2, what happens if you get scared to death, scared half to death twice? You ever heard somebody, Brother Robbie, that scared me half to death. What happens if that happens twice? You in trouble. Amen. Y'all all right? Y'all laughed? That's good. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. All right. Acts 2 and verse number 38. The Bible says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, God, I need you. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for your touch this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the good time we've already had. Lord, the laughter, it's good to laugh once in a while. God, we thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit that has come by our way this morning in the song service, and we're appreciative of that. We want to say we love you, and we do thank you, Lord, for loving us, Lord, while we were yet sinners. And God, I pray that, Lord, you'd meet with us, Lord, now during the preaching. God, help me. God, fill me with your Spirit. God, give me that unction from on high, God, to preach your word and to help your people and to see others that aren't saved, Lord, maybe they need to be saved today. God, help them. In Jesus' name, we ask you to do for us what only you can do, and Lord, only you alone. Have your will and way. Be glorified and magnified in all that's said and done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach this morning on this thought of the church. The church. The Bible said in verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's a lot of thoughts in the day in which we live about the church. There's a lot of different views and perspectives about the church. There's a lot of attitudes toward the church. But I will say this, you ought to make much of the church, amen. I'm talking about the local New Testament Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You ought to make much of the church of Jesus Christ. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ died, bought, and paid for the church with his blood, amen. And if Jesus, listen, I ain't never understood this. I've come across a lot of people that says, well, I'm saved, preacher. I've been saved for years, but I just don't want to go to church. I don't understand that mentality. Brother Robbie, when I got saved, God put a desire in my heart to want to go to church. I don't understand them. Listen, I don't understand not only why they wouldn't want to, but why they wouldn't see the importance to. If Jesus cared enough about the church to die for it, I ought to care enough to go to it. Amen. There's a mentality today, well, I just don't need the church. Let me say, the Christian life was never meant and never designed to be lived as a lone ranger. Amen. You cannot serve God the way God needs you to serve him and wants you to serve him on your own. You need a church. You need a local church. I thank God for the church. Old Matthew chapter number 16, Jesus told Peter, he said, thou art Peter. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. My church. It's his church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hey, can I say, hey, there's a lot of people talking about the church these days, and there's a lot of people trying to reinvent the church. There's new movements and things to change everything about the church, and Rick Warren and all his liberal comrades, all they want to do is take polls and see what we ought to do to make the church more like the world so the world wants to go to the church. He better get his cotton-picking finger off of God's church, amen. But I ain't so sure he's got no problem, because I ain't so sure that's God's church out there where he's at, amen. You can write him a letter and tell him I said so, amen. Anybody wants to take a poll and say, hey, we're going to play AC/DC and we're going to play Led Zeppelin and we're going to do whatever you want to do before church, and then we're going to give you a little sermonette for some Christianettes sucking cigarettes, amen, sitting in bassinets, amen. Y'all all right? Hey, listen, I don't want to hear it, amen. I don't want to hear it. Don't come up here and tell. Jesus said the gates of hell. Listen, there's a lot of people that are predicting the demise of the church. They're saying that the church is going down and the church is going. Listen, God's always had a remnant. Listen, you need to get hold of the fact that, listen, in the times of darkest persecution, in the times when maybe the church was underground, the church has always been. God has a remnant of his people. Listen, we may be few, we may be scattered, but God will always have a remnant. Hey, listen, he bought and he paid for his church at Calvary, amen. Amen. He cared enough about the church to die for. We ought to make much of. We ought to be there. We ought to take care and take a priority in our life to be a part of the church and be active in the church. I just believe this. I believe every saved child of God ought to be a member of a New Testament local Bible-believing church. You say New Hope. No, I'm not saying everybody's got to go to New Hope, but I say New Hope's a pretty good place to get plugged in, amen. Hey, but it ain't all about New Hope, but it is about the church. Jesus Christ is saving people and adding them to the church today. Yeah. Amen. I say, well, you say, what about the church? I'll just give you a few thoughts this morning about the church. I'm telling you, statistics says church attendance is going down. They tell us that when kids hit 18, they're hitting the doors of the church on the way out, and they're not coming back. Some of them until they're up at well in their 40s and starting to raise a family, and then some of them start to come back in. But I'm just simply saying this. Hey, that's not Bible. Hey, listen, and that's not the church's fault that's standing for the truth. That's lost, unregenerate man's nature saying he don't want none of what God's got, amen. We ought not change the church to please man's carnal appetite. Amen. You might as well say amen. I'm right about that, amen. Hey, but what is the church? To the saved person, I want to say, here in verse number 38, Peter's preaching. It's the day of Pentecost. Here he is preaching, and he's looking at some people, and he says, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus. And he says, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then on down in verse number 40, and 41, he talks about with many other words, you to testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And then verse 41 says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. When they gladly received his word, that's when they were saved. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You don't get saved without receiving the word of God. You can't become a child of God without receiving and believing his word and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, John 1:1. And the word was with God. And the word was God. You don't don't get saved apart from the Holy Scriptures. You don't get saved apart from the Holy Son of God. You cannot get saved apart from Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people think this morning they're going to heaven, and they say, well, I'm going to heaven, but going to heaven's about like going to Charlotte. I can take 85, or I can take 421 over to 77, or I can go down and I split off 52 and hit 40, and then we can hit 77, or I can just go on over and I hit 601 out of Moxville, and I can run 601 down, and we can get to Charlotte, listen, a lot of different ways. Yeah, you can get to Charlotte that way, but here's the problem, friend. Hey, we're not headed to Charlotte. Amen. There's only one way to heaven. And here it is. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And Peter got to preaching just that way on Acts chapter number 2. And he's preaching about Jesus, the one whom they crucified, the one whom they watched hang, the one who they knew had risen again. And he said, listen, you better repent, and you better believe, and you better receive. And then they that gladly received were baptized. But then I noticed this. And the same day that were added unto them about 3,000 souls. How about that? What a way to kick start the church, amen. Could you imagine starting a new church, amen, the first day 3,000 people get saved? Amen, I'm telling you, exciting times was going on. And I'm going to say, listen, it ought to be just as exciting day. We may not see 3,000 because we don't have 3,000 in here, amen. But we ought to be seeing souls saved. We ought to have a burden to see souls saved. We ought to be preaching the same message. Hey, and we ought to be excited about what God's doing at the church. Sometimes we read and we talk about the book of Acts and talk about, oh, that was exciting times. I got news for you. The church today ought to be just as exciting, amen. Jesus still saves. God's still on his throne. The Holy Ghost still got the power. We can still do things through him, do things through us that he was doing. Thank God we're a part of the church. Say, what about the church, Freedom? Let me say number one about the church. I'll just give you a few thoughts this morning, and then you can go chew on a chicken bone. Number one about the church. Number one, it's a place to go. I'm talking about to the saved person. I'm talking about to the person who gets saved, child of God. You've gladly received. You've been baptized. Listen, the church is the place to go. Listen, I promise you there's lots of places that you can find to go. There's race car stadiums that are going to be full today. There's ball fields that'll be full. Hey, baseball fields, basketball, football. I mean, listen, Satan, man, he's got all kinds of different gadgets and things. Listen, a tennis tournament. Listen, it may be an auction. It may be, I don't know what it is, but there's all kinds of things. If you don't want to go to church, you can find something to do. Hey, but if you've got a heart for God and you've been made a child of God and you've got a desire to be with him and a desire to be with his people, hey, he's got a church for you to be a part of. A place to go. Verse 41 says, and that same day he said, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 says, and the Lord added to the church. Can I say it's God's idea for you to be a part of the church when you get saved? You say, do you believe that, preacher? Absolutely, I believe that. Listen, the church isn't man's idea. A lot of people got some kind of misconception of the church. Well, man got together and invented just a club to go to. Now, there's a lot of them that's turned their church into a club and some kind of little fellowship. Listen, but the church is way more than that. The church is the body of Christ. And the New Testament church is the way in which God works out his purposes today. And if you're a child of God, you've been saved, you ought to have a desire and you ought to want to be a part of the New Testament local church. Amen. And I say, you ought not just want to have your name on the roll, but you ought to, hey, want to have your legs actively working, amen. You ought to want to be in Sunday school. You ought to want to be on Sunday morning. You ought to want to be there on Sunday night, and you ought to want to be there on Wednesday night. Brother Tony Hudson, somebody said, why don't you have Awanas on Wednesday night? He said, because I want to preach on Wednesday night. I want to preach. I want. Listen, you ought to want to be at church. You ought to want to be at church. It's getting quiet. I don't know why it's getting quiet. I mean, I'm just simply saying when I got saved, Brother Gary, I wanted to go to church. Now, I got saved on Sunday night, January 10th, 1999. On January the 17th, 1999, guess where I was the next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and nobody had to come get me and drag me out of bed. I was at Sunday school. Amen. Listen, I'm not saying you're not saved if you don't come to Sunday school or if you don't come on Wednesday night or Sunday. I'm just simply saying it's a good place for Christians to go. Tell me this, where can you find that's going to help you any more than the local church? The lake? I'm not against going to the lake once in a while. I'm not against going to the beach. I'm not, listen, or the coast, whatever you want to call it. I'm not against going to a ball game. Man, I love going to ball games. I love going to watch a race. Hey, but listen, if those things take you away from the local New Testament church and you not being there when the doors are open, something's wrong. Amen. I'm simply saying, I'm asking this question, where can you find it's going to help you, help your family, help your youngins, help this country for you to be there? Where can you find it's going to do any more good for you and your family than the church house? The psalmist said in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me ask you a question on Sunday morning. Are you glad to come to church? Sunday night, are you glad? He didn't say, I was glad on Sunday morning. He said, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. In other words, when they opened up the door and said, hey, it's church time, he said, I'm glad I'm going to be there. He said, I'm on my way. Hey. Do you get excited? Let me just ask you, do you get excited and happy because it's church time? Or do you say, well, we can't go over there. We got to go to church. You know, they say of George Washington, you know, one of the greatest presidents, our first president of the United States. I was doing some reading not too long ago, Brother Robbie, and I was reading about George Washington. They said when George Washington, and listen, now, he's the president of the United States. You know, he's not just some little guy that didn't have nothing to do. Y'all all right? You say, I'm too busy. Listen, George Washington, they said George Washington, when he had family, relatives, visitors, anybody in his home, and he was you know, taking care of them and watching over them. He said, they said on Sunday mornings when it was time to go to church and when the church bells rung, he would tell his guest of honor, he'd say, look, it's time to go to church. You can go with me or you can stay here and I'll see you when I get back. That's a pretty good testimony. I'm going to say that's a pretty good practice to get in on. Listen, he wasn't no independent, fundamental, right-wing, white shirt only, crazy, you know, radical. Now, that was the president years ago. I mean, he had a priority that when it was time to go to church, he was there. Can I say God's people who know him, who love him, who claim to be his child, you ought to have a desire to be in church. But can I say if you're out of town, let me just hit this while I'm here. If you are out of town and you do go on a vacation, don't go on vacation on God. There's churches in other places you can be a part of. And listen, if you can't find a church, hey, get your family, put them in the living room floor, the hotel floor, get your Bible out, pray and read some Bible and just, hey, talk to them, have some devotions. Hey, let them know that you do prioritize that time. Amen. Don't go on vacation on God. Let me say this. What you enjoy today, your children will exaggerate tomorrow. If you enjoy missing a service now and then, hey, don't get mad in 10, 20 years when your youngins grow up and want nothing to do with it. Hey, church is a good place to go for saved people. I want to say it's the place to go for saved people. Well, you know what? Y'all know this verse, Hebrews chapter number 10. Y'all know it. Everybody know it. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. The writer of Hebrews said it like this. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, if you look around, there's the manner of some today to forsake the assembly. We don't want to do Wednesday nights. We don't want to do Sunday night. I tell you what we're going to do, preacher. Well, instead of having church, we're going to have small groups. And we're going to get together and we're going to go over to Chili's and eat and we're going to have a little Bible study. Yeah, right. You're going to go over there and gossip and eat. Well, if you want to do that, hey, do it some other time and don't take the place of church. Amen. Well, preacher, you know what? You know, Sunday nights is family time. What better could you do with your family than to take them to church? It's the Lord's day. Amen. I mean, didn't the Bible say that Sunday's the Lord's day? We're doing good if we give him an hour and a half. He said it's the Lord's day. This shouldn't be hard preaching, but I kind of feel like amen to King. This ought to be just average Joe, hey, Christianity. Hey, we go to church when the doors are open. It's a good place to go. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day of approach. Can I say, so much the more I see church attendance falling off, so much the more we see people, hey, rather go do this and that. And they got any other, they say they're saved, and they say they love God, and say they love God's people, but they look for any excuse not to be there. I'm just simply saying something don't add up. Amen. The church is the place to go. Let me say number two. I got to hurry. The church is the place to grow. The church is a place to grow. Watch, it didn't just say they were added to them. Verse 42 says, and they continued. Who continued? All 3,000 of them. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They didn't just come to church long enough to join the church and then never show up. There's a lot of people that they come to church and once they get joined the church and get baptized, hey, they're gone. I heard a story about some preachers that was down at the barbershop one day, and one of them was talking, and the Baptist was talking. You know, they were just getting along as a Baptist and a Methodist, I think a Presbyterian, and they was just sitting there talking about different things, and they didn't know how they was going to do this, and they didn't know how they was doing that, and they got talking about this and that. And one of them said, well, I'll tell you what he said. He said, we've got some bats in our attic, and we don't know how to get rid of the bats. One of them said that, and the other one said, I'll tell you what. He said, the Baptist preacher spoke up. He said, I'll tell you exactly how to get rid of the bats in your attic. He said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, what we did, he said, we had bats in our attic. He said, we opened the doorway to the attic. He said, we got them to come in. He said, we got them all to get saved, got them baptized, joined the church. He said, they ain't been back. Amen. And the sad thing is we see that a lot in our day. People come, make a profession, they may get baptized, and then they don't want to come back to church. Can I say that? Hey, that is not Christianity. They continued. I don't believe nobody went around with swords and guns and even bags of candy and checks and begged them, come on in. I mean, we live in such a day, it's almost like you feel like you're dealing with puppies or something. Come on now. Don't you want to come to church? Now, we're going to do this for you. Come on now. You ought to have a desire. You ought to have a desire to want to be there. You ought to have an appetite for God in His house. Hey, listen, it's a place to go. It's a place to grow. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The doctrine is the teaching. Hey, can I say just because you get saved doesn't mean you're done. Salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning. You understand salvation is called the new birth. Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. He likens salvation to that of a brand new life being begun through the new birth. Amen? What baby, when he's born, says, "Whoa, I'm done"? No, when you see a baby born, you look at that and say, what a brand new beginning. What a precious time. But listen, you expect that baby to take some milk, to get some nutrients, to begin to move around, to exercise, and you expect that baby to grow. Amen. Caleb, can I pick on you? I'm not really picking. I'm just going. When Caleb was born, how big was he, Mama? Long? 7 to 8 inches? 21 inches long. Now his foot's that long. 21 inches long, 7 to 8 pounds. Is that what you said? 7 pounds, 8 ounces. He ain't much more than that now. I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, I'm simply saying 18, 17. If we used to come over here and 17 years old and Mama was still holding him and he was 7, 8, 21 inches long, and you said, how old is he? He's 17. Houston, we got a problem. You with me? We got a problem. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to show you a point here. We got a problem. If we got a kid that's 17 years old, but he's still the size and the mature level of an infant baby. But the sad thing is we got people that says they've been saved all their life. They've been saved 20 years, 15 years. And they still really spiritually big babies. They're full of carnality, envy, malice, strife. I'm not just talking about those that still chaw biker and smoke. I'm talking about them that gossip, fuss, and bicker. Signs of immaturity. And I'm telling you what, you get in a good church, you get in a New Testament local Bible-believing church, and you sit under sound doctrine, and you get grounded and rooted in the Word of God, and you learn about justification, sanctification, glorification, you start learning about redemption, you start learning the doctrines of the Word of God, you start learning not just about the cover of the Bible, but about the content of the Bible and the Christ of the Bible, and you're going to start growing up. You can't intake, and get all those nutrients and it not start showing up. There's a lot of people that they're immature. I'm trying to be nice this morning. There's a lot of people that are saved, but they're immature. They don't do the things they ought to do. They don't act the way they ought. They don't tithe. They don't be faithful. They don't do lots of things because they've never subjected themselves and set themselves in a local New Testament Bible preaching, Bible teaching church where they could get grounded and rooted underneath of the doctrines of the Word of God. And you need those things. You need the doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, not only in the teaching, but they continued in fellowship. Watch, it says, and the fellowship, that is, not only did they have the teaching, but they had the togetherness. They were together. They had the fellowship. Can I say, sometimes I get discouraged. Can I help you? I know you get discouraged. Sometimes the preacher gets discouraged. Hey, sometimes the preacher's wife gets discouraged, even though she gets to go home with the preacher. Do you understand that sometimes I can't wait to come on Wednesday night, Caleb, just to see you? I'm being honest. Sometimes I need to see these young people. I need to see the smile on their face. I need to see the life. And I need to see Brother Robbie. I need to see Brother Steve, even though he's mean to me. I need to see Brother Rodney, even though he tries to break my arm every time he shakes it. Hey, I need to see some of these people. I need your fellowship. I'm not just talking about saying, hey, how you doing, shaking hands and walking. I need to be around you. Listen, iron sharpens iron. That's why we need to talk. That's why we ought to discuss things. That's why we ought to be like a big family. We sing the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. It's a place to grow. You grow by iron sharpening iron. You being together. Not only the teaching, but the togetherness, the fellowship. Then it says in the breaking of bread, some would say that's the eating, but some would say that's the Lord's Supper. That is the carrying out of the Lord's ordinances that he's given us. That is of baptism and the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread. Lord willing, we'll be doing that here in a couple of weeks on a Sunday night. The breaking of bread, the passing out of the Lord's Supper. You need that. That's the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. And he said, as often as you do share my death till he come. You need that. You need to be a part of that. And then not only that, and he said, and in prayer. 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 You get in the house. Jesus said his house is to be a house of prayer. We come in and pray. We do these things. We come in and we hear the teaching. We come in and we spend time together. We come in and we learn the ordinances and what they mean. And we go through these things. And then we have prayer together. Can I say prayer will teach you just as much as anybody or anything? Prayer. When you learn to pray, you are aligning yourself, not with what you want, but you are aligning yourself with God's will. A lot of people have a misconception of prayer that when I pray, that I'm just asking God and he's giving me everything that my carnal heart desires. No, prayer is when you learn to pray according to his will for his glory and you pray and align yourself and say, not my will, but thine be done. The model prayer, I said this Wednesday night, the model prayer is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God, teach me to ask and think and ask and desire the things that you would have me to ask and desire. That's part of growth. That's part of mature process. The church is a place to go. The church is a place to grow. You're going to like this one. The church is a place to sow. Watch verse number 44. It says, and all, how many? Y'all with me? How many was it? All that believed were together and had how many things? All things common. Watch verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. I'm simply saying they had all things common. They sold their possessions. Now, I couldn't imagine all this happening today now. Preacher, I've been working hard to get this boat. I've been working hard to get this four-wheeler. I've been working hard to get all these new dresses. I've been working hard. I ain't giving. Sold all their possessions and parted. Well, that's the hard part. Parted them to all men as every man had need. Sadness is, I was reading this week, and communists will claim that this is where they get their principle. And the sad thing is, as off the wall as their belief system is, they're trying to practice part of what we're supposed to be practicing, and we've discarded it. Now, I'm not telling you and promoting to you that we as a church ought to go out and sell everything we've got and just spread it all out and have communists. That's not what I'm saying. Here's the concept. Here's the principle we can draw from this. You and I that do have, when we see those who don't have, we can give up something we don't have to have to help someone else have something they do need to have. Be willing, hey, to give up, hey, a day's vacation to help somebody put food on their table. Be willing to help some of these youngins that, hey, listen, got their toes hanging out their shoes and their moms and dads can't afford to buy them clothes and shoes. Hey, be willing to, hey, I'll take you, I'll buy you a pair of shoes. I'll buy you a pair of blue jeans. Don't listen to, look at this, you've heard this before and I'm going to say it again. Don't you knock these youngins until you're willing to help them. Well, they just come in church and they would dress anyway. I'm not dressed like that. When's the last time you thought about what they might have? They may be wearing the best they've got. Take them to Walmart. Spend $50 on them, $100. It ain't going to hurt some of us. I'm practicing what I preach. Look up in here. Hey, my wife will tell you, I'm not bragging, but we've done what I'm talking about. Hey, it ain't going to hurt you. Hey, I've done without a fifth pair of shoes to help a young and have some clothes, to do something once in a while to help somebody. It's not going to hurt you. Reason why you won't is because you're selfish. Hey, a church is a place to sow. When we talk about sowing, everybody thinks he's talking about the offering plate. That's good. Listen, every child of God ought to tithe. Every saved person ought to tithe. Every saved person ought to tithe. Let me just say this. If you're saved and you don't tithe, you're robbing God. Listen, read Malachi chapter number 3. You're not robbing the church. You're not robbing the preacher. God's going to take care of His church. God's going to take care of His man. Hey, you're robbing God. Malachi said, if you would give and you would be the tithe and you would do what you're supposed to, he's going to open up the windows and pour out a blessing. Some of you say, well, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford this. I can't. Hey, listen, you can't afford not to. Some of you struggling and you can't make ends meet and you got too much month at the end of the month. Hey, look, and you can't. Hey, if you start tithing and going above and beyond and saying, God, I'm going to trust you, you'd be surprised what you could afford to do. Preacher, I just don't make but so much, I can tell you what, I can take you back down my checkbook over the last 10, 15 years, and I promise you it ain't all going to make sense in the accountant's office. Hey, but in God's office, good neighbor, He's going to pour it out, amen, pressed down, shaken together. He's going to give. He said, you give and He'll give unto you. We get all nervous about giving, and we get all upset. Can I say, if you learn biblical giving, you'll understand, it's not, listen, tithing's the training wheels. If you can't tithe, you sure ain't giving no offerings. Let me read you a verse over here. Listen, if you would trust this preacher and take God at His word, trust God more so, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I want to read you a verse. 2 Corinthians, this is a principle that a lot of you need to learn. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. You say, preacher, do you mean? This is what God said. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. When you get there, say amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I want you to look down at verse number 6. Paul said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now, how many of you planted a garden? What he's telling you, if you sow sparingly, that is, if you sow, you don't put many seeds in, you ain't getting much crop coming up. That's what he's saying.
He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The direct opposite. Hey, if you sow a little, you're going to reap a little. But if you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. It's a natural principle. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you don't sow it, you ain't reaping it. This is not a peace and prosperity gospel. This is God's divine laws and his orders and the principles that he's laid out in his word. Watch verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. I see it on the books of some people when we take up the offering. Some people, their smile from the singing goes. Every man, according as he purposeth, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Not just because you feel like you have to. Watch it. For God loveth a cheerful giver. That word cheerful, it talks about being happy. It literally means be hilarious. When's the last time you, hey, shout, hallelujah, I got to give my tithes. Hallelujah, I got to give an offering. He was excited about it. Verse 8, and God is able. You say, preacher, I can't give, I can't do it, I can't. Well, mark verse 8. And God is able. He's talking to people about their giving. He's talking to them about their sowing. Listen, he's talking to them about putting the money in the plate. He said, if you can't afford it, just trust God. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I'm going to read verse 8 again. I want you to mark all. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 10 says, or verse 9 says, he that hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth there. Verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God is going to take care of you if you'll be obedient, and you'll do what he's asked you to do. And if you sow the way God's asked you to sow, God is going to give you the harvest. I'm not saying you're going to be rich. I'm not saying, hey, bless God, send me thousands. No, 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 no. That ain't, we ain't in that crazy stuff. What we're saying is God has commanded the tithe. He's told us how to give offerings above and beyond the tithe. And he said if we would sow, if we would give back to him what he's already given to us, he would give us more that we may be able to give more. It's the concept. You don't get it if you don't give it. Understand, this ain't, listen, the preacher ain't begging for money. The preacher's all right. Hey, listen, what I'm simply saying is some of you are missing out on the blessings that God wants to bless you with because you're robbing God every week. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not stupid enough to look over and see 1745 and know when there's 130 people in here, somebody ain't robbing God. Listen, I know what I make a week. I know what I put in the plate a week. And I know good and well that I ain't the highest paid person in here. I'm just simply saying, hey, the church is the place to sow. If you got money to put in at the racetrack, and you got money to put in at the ball field, and you got money to put in at the restaurant, and you got money to put in at the wherever you go, at the amusement parks and the beaches and the... If you've got money for all that, hey, you better make sure God gets his first, or don't be preacher, I can't afford, I just ain't got no money. Let's look up in here. If you're robbing God, you ought to be needing something. Church is the place to sow. Let me say this, church is the place to go. Church is the place to grow. Church is the place to sow. And it's not all about the offering plate. Mind you, sometimes it's sowing into other people's lives out of what God's given you. Sometimes God... Me and my wife was talking about this week. Some people need to learn this concept, the open hand. So many times we get something in our hand, and we say, oh, I like that, and we squeeze it. And God says, I want to put something else in there, but we're too busy holding on to what's already in there. We can't. But if I give that to you, God says, I got some more of that. Pass it on. And God says, keep your hands open. You get the concept? If you keep your hands open, God's giving to you, you're giving to someone. Once they get, hey, God, they give it to someone. Keep your hands open. But here's, we get one little blessing and we say, ah, I got that, I got that. The hand that's squeezed is the hand that cannot be filled again. It's just a principle. It's just a concept that many people need to learn. The open hand. God can bless it and use that hand to bless others. There's people in here that do that. There's people in this church that God's used to bless others. And God, and you can look at them and you say, well, look, and it's easy for me to understand why they have and why God's blessed them, because they in turn turn around and bless other people. And then there's other people who get one blessing and hold on to it and then wonder why they can't get to do nothing else. Wonder why God hadn't given them nothing else. And then there's some people who says, well, preacher, if I won the lottery, then I'd tithe. If you ain't tithing on the $2 you got, you sure enough ain't going to tithe on $2 million. And let me ask you a question. You say, well, preacher, I just don't have... Listen, if God can't trust you with $20 a week to tithe on it, how's he going to trust you with $2,000 a week? Hello? Well, I don't make but $100 a week, preacher. I can't tithe. You're saying God can't trust you with $100, but you want him to give you $1,000. Church is the place to sow. Into the plate, into the people. Let me say this. The church is a place to glow. Glow. Shine. Here it is. Down here in verse number 46, the last part. And they did eat their meat with gladness. Gladness. Verse 47, praising God. You'll find a place to murmur if you want to go to the barbershop. You can find a place to gossip. But when you come to church, that's not the place to gossip. It's not the place to murmur. It's not the place to criticize. It's not the place to complain. If you want to criticize and complain, go to the courthouse. There's plenty enough to criticize down there. But when you come to God's house, you ought to be in gladness and praising God. Watch this. And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such to be saved. I like that part. They received it with gladness. They were praising God and having favor. That's a glowing people. They're praising God. God likes that. And everybody looked at him and they had favor with all people. You know what I was thinking about Matthew 5:16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How about that? How about that for prayer? Let your light so shine. Let me ask you, Christian, are you shining? Let me say, do you shine at church? When you shine at church, you come to church, you get your tank charged, you get excited, you get something to do. Listen, you ought to go out in that world. Let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father, which art in heaven. Listen, there's a lot of people ditching the church. There's a lot of people doing away with the church. They're having this little fellowship and this little thing. But I'm going to just simply say this. Hey, the church ain't going down. The church is going up. I'm glad I'm part of the church. It's a place to go. It's a place to grow. It's a place to sow, and it's a place to glow. And I thank God that in 1999, I had some people that showed me and taught me the importance of being involved and being plugged into the New Testament local Bible-believing church. No telling where I'd be today if I never got plugged in to God's church. Listen. You can be saved and wandering and lonely and not, listen, and never experience the blessings of God. But if you'll get plugged into church the way God has purposed and designed for his people to be in the church, you'll experience growth, you'll experience blessing, you will experience, listen, a maturing process. You will one day look back and say, how in the world did I ever exist without the church? Thank God. I thank God for the church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I pray you take this message. God, I pray, Lord, that there be someone here this morning that maybe they're not saved. Maybe they've never trusted Christ. They're not a part of your body, much less of the local church. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd show them that they need Jesus. Being saved and going to heaven is not about joining the church, but it's about receiving Jesus Christ. And then I pray for them to be saved. And then I pray for those that have been saved, those that have trusted Christ and been made new creatures. God, I pray for them to see the importance of being a part, a faithful part of a local Bible preaching church. God, would you have your will and way? And all is said and done. Maybe there's some that maybe, Lord, you've just encouraged them this morning to keep on keeping on in the church. God, do for us what only you can do. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, God, help us to go, help us to grow.